and dry until we talk again later. We put the wraps on our morning session and make way for the news at 9, sponsored by the Phoenix Center and Richland Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's a rainy 36 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The aid group World Central Kitchen is pausing aid deliveries to Gaza after 7 of its workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledging that Israeli forces carried out the unintended strike. Fire at a nightclub in Istanbul that was under renovation. It's left at least 15 people dead and several badly hurt. The Florida Supreme Court allowing a 6-week abortion ban to take effect, but also ruling that a referendum on the issue of abortion will be allowed on the ballot in November. The women's Final Four is now set following last night's big Iowa win.
A rematch like no other in the NCAA Women's Elite Eight.
The Hawkeyes are headed back to the Final Four.
Number 1 seed Iowa, led by Caitlin Clark, eliminating number 3 LSU, who beat Iowa in the championship game last year. The final score 94-87.
ABC's Lionel Moise. This is ABC News. A legal setback for President Biden's son, Hunter, a federal judge refusing to dismiss his tax case, setting the stage for a trial in June. Still up for grabs, a Powerball jackpot, a giant one, no ticket matching all six numbers in Monday night's drawing.
The Powerball jackpot is now estimated at least $1.09 billion for the next drawing on Wednesday night. Monday ticket buyers in Georgia will have to try again to
pay off some debt and quit my job.
Help others, and others that can't help themselves.
In Monday's Powerball drawing, six tickets matched all five white balls and won $1 million each. Dozens of other tickets won $50,000 or $100,000 prizes. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
And it's never a good day when trash from the space station hits your house, and it may have happened early last month. Parts of old batteries jettisoned from the orbiter a few years ago, apparently crashing through Alejandro Otero's roof in southwest Florida. NASA is analyzing the debris to confirm it's from the space station. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Helping you feel.
Spring has sprung, and it's that time of year to clean out your drawers and files to safely dispose of confidential documents. WCCU Credit Union's Spring Shredding event will be held on Saturday, April 20th. So grab a few boxes and fill them up with tax returns, medical records, pay stubs, old checkbooks, junk mail, and any other confidential documents. The on-site shredding truck will be located in our Viroqua, Reesburg, and Richland Center parking lots on Saturday, April 20th. From 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. Maximum of 3 large boxes per person. For more details, contact any of our WCCU offices or visit us online at wccucreditunion.coop.
Helping you build a better life. WCCU Credit Union feels so right.
Today's forecast includes a winter weather advisory until 7 tomorrow morning, 4 to 7 for Vernon and Richland counties. Sauk County from 1 this afternoon until 10 tonight, with the possibility of 1 to 2 inches of snow by late this afternoon. An additional 1 to 3 tonight, and maybe an additional 1 inch or so tomorrow. 30 tonight, 37 Wednesday, and for Thursday, 44 degrees. Right now in Richland Center, north winds are at 2.4 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. As the light rain continues, it is 36 degrees.
We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. How easily soil gets moved with a 1-series tractor. Or how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator XUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat.
Visit Hillsboro Equipment in Hillsboro, Boston Equipment in Boston, or Slama's Lawn and Sport in Reedsburg today, or find us online at hillsboroequipment.com.
We need volunteers. Do you want to give back to your community? Does caring for those in need appeal to you? Would you like to meet new people and make new friends? Schmidt Woodland Hills is actively seeking volunteers to help us fulfill our mission of caring for those in need in Richland County. We have openings for volunteers to assist in a variety of ways as we provide care to our residents and their families. We can offer flexible times and flexible hours. If you are ready to experience the joy of giving to others, please call 647-8931 and ask for John Tews.
WRCO Studios, brought to you by the Richland Family Restaurant, your source for great tunes and delicious moments in Richland Center.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're here to talk about the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and some upcoming very important meetings and announcements we have for you today on the show. We have in the studio with us John Clare, Dave Barron, Brock Rosencrantz, and Doug Duren here to provide some information and some expertise. We'll start with you, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you in here.
It's great to be here. We have a couple of meetings coming up that we just want to make people aware of. The first one is next week on Monday night. That's the annual Conservation Congress meeting and hearing, they used to call it. And it's important that folks that are interested in the outdoors attend, whether you're a hunter, fisher, or trapper, or just somebody that likes to canoe or hang out in the outdoors. It's important that people be there.
It's important for input, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a number of things that happen during this meeting. First of all, there's some citizen resolutions that we'll talk about later. And then there are a number of questions to be voted on this year. There's a whole bunch. And you get a chance to either vote in person on next Monday night, or you can do it online beginning on Wednesday.
Where is the meeting going to be held at locally?
It's going to be in the courthouse, actually in the courtroom.
Okay. So have you done that before?
There? Yeah, we've had it there for a number of years. In fact, as long as I can remember, it's been in the courtroom.
Important that you get that input and that it's well attended, right?
Yes. And there's been some changes. Of course, COVID changed a whole bunch of things, including our meetings. And the meeting has a different kind of format now than it used to have. But it's still important for folks to show up.
Give us kind of the who, what, when, and where, and why, what the Conservation Congress is.
Okay, the Conservation Congress has been around for almost 100 years, for 90 years. It started in 1934, and what it was started for was for folks that are invested in the outdoor activities and in the outdoors to have a chance to have some input on what the rules are and what the policies are in the state of Wisconsin. And the state of Wisconsin is the only state that I know of that has something like that. So it's important that we take advantage of that and give our input as to what we think needs to be changed for positive or negative.
Are meetings held around the state pretty much the same day then?
Yep, same day, all 72 counties in the state. And part of the deal is that there's an election. And in order to be part of the election, you have to prove that you're part of the county, that you are a resident. So you have to provide like a driver's license. And there are five delegates in each county. We have four of us here today, and that the elections happen every year, and there are different terms. Some are 2-year terms, some are 3-year terms, and both Dave and Julie are up for election this year, and Doug has decided not to continue, and so there'll be three seats open, and we hope that folks will come and vote, and that we will have some volunteers to take some of the empty spots.
I know you encourage people to do that, but you're also there for some information. If somebody has any questions, you guys would be good resources.
Right. And the way it's going to work, the way that it's different now is that Meeting actually starts at 6:30. Places open at 6. You can kind of sign in, get the paperwork that you need. And then at 6:30, there will be representatives from the DNR there giving short presentations. Somebody from state parks, somebody from wildlife, somebody from fisheries, and somebody from law enforcement. And they will be giving short presentations about changes and new things on the horizon in all of those areas. And then at 7 o'clock is when we have the elections, and the elections don't usually take very long here in Richland County, and that should be over fairly quickly. And then after that, what happens is that the folks from the DNR will continue if they haven't finished. And then there are a number of questions, and there are questions for fisheries this year, and then there's a bunch from the Conservation Congress. And each question that is on the docket gets read. If it pertains to parts other than Richland County, like there's some that fisheries questions that pertain to one lake up north, if nobody wants to hear that, we kind of skip that. But the rest of them we read, and there's some discussion. And then people can either vote on their paper ballot if they want, or they can kind of save their vote for doing it online at home.
So there's some discussion there, too,
yes,
as well.
Yes, yeah, there's some questions. You know, people mm-hmm. always have questions about why are we changing this? And usually those are pretty well spelled out in the questions. But there's always questions and comments. People, you know, can comment on whether they think this is a great idea or not.
We'll go around the room a little bit. Brock Rosenkranz is here. Brock, you've got a new job. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I am now the Wisconsin Field Support Coordinator for the National Deer Association.
And that must be a fun job. Is it a dream job for you?
Being a hunter, yeah, it's definitely kind of a dream job. I set up hunts, butchering workshops, cooking days. Pretty much if it's going to help get people into the outdoors, I set up those type of events and courses and run those for mainly adults, 21 and over usually.
So we think about the deer seasons. What do you do in the off season then? Or is there an off season?
Not really an off season. I obviously work for the Deer Association, so deer is a main focus in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But I do run turkey hunts the summer. I do those butchering and cooking workshops. So that's kind of the off season. That's where we fill that up. Scouting days, teaching people how to use apps like Onyx and how to find spots out on public land, things like that.
Technology has really come into, that wasn't something we thought of that many years ago.
No, yeah, Onyx and things like that, trail cameras, especially these cell cams, things like that are definitely changing the game. I don't personally use a lot of trail cams and stuff because I don't own property to use them on, but Onyx is definitely a huge help for people to use. I sound like I'm just sitting here plugging them right now.
You have to get a little kickback on it, maybe. So, trail cams are amazing, though. I mean, you just can really picture some beautiful animals on there.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely help. Definitely help your scouting and just cool seeing what's out in the woods. I know Doug over there just got a really cool picture of a bobcat a couple weeks ago, so... some people might be a little scared of those, but definitely don't need to be scared of those. Those are cool to see out there.
Awesome. And turkey, I mean, this season's coming up, isn't
it? Yep, turkey hunting youth season will be next weekend, the 13th and 14th. And it's actually pretty cool. We get special permission to run hunts on those weekends. So I'll be running an adult hunt on the youth weekend. Gets them a special opportunity to get out there, not have to have drawn a tag like the rest of us do. We can get them out there a little earlier when the turkeys are a little easier to get to rather than the late season. We are still running a late season hunt this year. John and I are. Those are still really fun because the weather's a little nicer then. We don't have to battle with maybe snow or rain or 20-degree nights. So late season turkey hunting is definitely fun as well.
Yeah. How's that going to change a little bit? I know every spring is different, but we actually have some buds on the trees right now.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a little different. The turkeys have been really fired up the last few days. I heard them out gobbling this morning in the rain. So we're going to have to see how it goes this year.
And you mentioned the youth hunt. Do they have to be accompanied by an adult, or how does that work?
With the youth hunt in the DNR, there's a few different ways you can do it. John, how old do you have to be to hunt alone as a youth?
You have to be 14.
Yeah. And then otherwise, there's mentored hunts where you can go on and buy a mentor license and you can go with your parent. One gun can be in between the two of you. The parent also has to be a licensed hunter. So that's if the kid hasn't taken hunter safety yet. Obviously, if you're 14 years old, you will have needed to take hunter safety to be hunting on your own. I think that covers the youth hunt, right, John?
Yeah, the youth have to have a license, though, so
yes.
What they can buy here. In zone one of the turkey world, they can buy a sixth season
yep.
or fifth season license. They're still available, and they have to have a license for some time period in order to hunt the youth hunt.
Yep, there is no special youth season tag. You just get a later season tag and use it for that season if there's a youth out there that's interested in doing that this year.
I'm not a hunter of turkey, but it seems to me of all the game, that might be the one that takes the most skill. What do you think?
Skill, sometimes a lot of luck. sometimes they're the easiest bird to hunt. Sometimes they're the hardest. It just depends on the time of year, depends on the area you've been hunting, depends on how many decoys they've seen. Depends on how educated they are. But yeah, sometimes they'll just come right in 6:45 in the morning and you're done right away. And then other times you're hunting seven full days and shooting a Jake on your seventh day. So a Jake being a younger turkey, a Tom being an adult male.
Right. So as you mentioned, getting the youth out there before the turkeys are a little bit less seasoned at that point.
Yes. Yep. So. Yeah. When you're getting out in the youth, hunt, the turkeys are definitely a little bit more fired up. They haven't been seeing decoys and stuff. The hens haven't been bred as much yet, so they're a little bit easier to get to sometimes. So
yeah, that's exciting. That season is coming up. Well, move over. We've got Doug Duren here today. It seemed like you were just here talking about the deer hunt, so that wasn't too long ago.
It really wasn't too long ago, it seems like. There's always something in season here in Richland County. You know, I have to say, just sitting here listening to these two and looking at them, how proud I am of John and Brock. I think John was the guy who got Brock into hunting back when he was a wee lad, and there sort of this full circle thing happening where Brock is now a learn to hunt instructor and running a program, and it's just really great to see those two guys sitting there talking about this stuff.
Indeed, yeah, your mentor there, and that's important to have somebody to take you under the wing sometime, isn't it, Brock?
Yeah, having a mentor is definitely important. That's what my whole when I run hunts, it's always, if I have 10 mentees, there's going to be 10 mentors there taking people out one-on-one. And yeah, like Doug said, John got me into this when I was a kid doing a youth learn to turkey hunt through the local Scenic Hills NWTF. And then the next year we went on a duck hunt over towards the basketball area, and I was hooked. I didn't get a turkey that year. I shot a bunch of ducks when we went duck hunting, but I was still hooked, and he's still even taking me out, teaching me how to trap in these last couple of years. So he's still doing it. He's still teaching it at his young age of 43.
Is that right?
That's been a while.
Brock didn't excel in math, I don't think. So what about this bobcat you saw on your camera, Doug?
Yeah, well, you know, that's really interesting. I have a series of trail cameras out, and they're it's a system where I get pictures a couple of times a day, and I had seen this bobcat, and I know it's this particular one because he's actually wearing a collar, a tracking collar.
Oh.
And I've had pictures of him at night going by the camera, but this was the first one that I got during the day, and I think I've had pictures of this bobcat now for 3 years. And why is he wearing a collar? But anyway, here he is during the day, and he's just beautiful. He has a beautiful pelt, big animal. Why is he wearing this collar? Well, some years ago, I want to say 10 years ago, maybe even more, they started a study here in Southwest Wisconsin, a deer and predator study, along with the impact of CWD on the deer herd. Having reached out to some of the people at the Department of Natural Resources, they figured that animal had relocated from down here in the southern part of the county all the way up to the northeast part of the county. And the collar is no longer functional, but it's still wearing it, I guess, as, you know, bling or something now. But it's clearly not bothering him, and it has an expandable thing on it. It's just a real interesting thing to see, and that's one of my favorite things about having trail cameras, is that you get to see all this other wildlife. I have way too many pictures of raccoons lately, but as Brock was talking about with the turkeys and them getting fired up, I've got pictures of turkeys jumping around in front of the cameras. It's like they're showing off for the camera or something. It's great. It's great fun to see that stuff.
Here we are. Come get us, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Teasing you a little bit. So should we be concerned of bobcats or not?
Oh, no. No? No, they tend to be a solitary animal, except for when a female has a litter. And they are going to certainly stay away from you more than you should be afraid of them. And I think that's the case with pretty much any predator that we have out there. Coyotes being the other big one, and, you know, coyotes will run from you rather than, you know, confront you or anything like that. And we really don't have anything like mountain lions or cougars around here. Some have been spotted, but I don't think it's anything to be concerned about.
See any bear?
I have not, but people in our area have. And I think that's the same. It's similar in that we have some of the habitat that bear would do fine in, but they're having to, you know, translocate to this area. So personally, I've not seen anybody. I know people who have.
As we mentioned, turkey season coming up. Now, when you and I were growing up, that wasn't a common thing, turkeys around here.
Well,
was it?
I don't know how old you are, but but you're right. Yeah, I remember having gone away, and man, this was like the late 70s, and John might know when they first introduced turkeys here, but...
Yeah, mid-70s.
In the mid-70s. Yeah. And I remember coming back, yeah, I'd been traveling or gallivanting around the country, and came back and was helping my dad make hay, and it came off the ridge, and this giant bird got up in front of me, and I had no idea what it was. And I asked him about it. He goes, it's probably one of those turkeys that they released around here. And now, they're everywhere. And I moved away then during the... I was gone pretty much all of the 80s and lived in New England. And then when I came back, all my friends were way into turkey hunting. I was like, what is this turkey hunting? You know, and I wasn't quite sure about it. But once I got into it, I was real interested in as well. I would say that if you made me choose between deer hunting and turkey hunting, I would choose turkey hunting.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some of it, there isn't so much angst around turkey hunting as there is deer hunting. I really do think that's a part of it, and we certainly can get into talking about deer hunting. But, you know, there's all these concerns about deer, and then there's complaints about there aren't enough deer, or our area have too many, but you hear all these things. And I think that if deer did the same thing that turkeys did in the woods, that we wouldn't have a concern. That is, when you go out and make some noise, sounding like a turkey, theoretically, they'll gobble back at you. So you've got these birds out there in the woods that are hollering back at you. So even if you don't, you know, harvest one, kill one, that with all that noise going on, you know that they're out there. Now, if we had deer out there, you know, barking at us or something, that people would probably be a lot less concerned about the deer numbers. We don't, on a percentage basis, we don't have as high a success rate with turkey hunting as we do with deer hunting. So, you know, it's just a different animal. And honestly, being out there in the spring of the year and in the morning when they're waking up and they're gobbling and all that's going on, it's a real special moment.
Mm-hmm. What would you rather eat?
Well, that's a boy. Both. How's that?
Okay. I have a smorgasbord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you made any videos lately? You've been doing that?
What was the last thing we did? We have not shot... that's not true. We have some videos on the Savage website and also on the Sharing the Land website that are about a couple of things that are near and dear to my heart. One of them is about Elder Leopold and the Riley Game Cooperative, which is really the Leopold, who's an inspiration to all of us, of course, here in this room, but then his Riley Game Cooperative, which was a bartering system, essentially. He and some buddies from town went to the area of Riley, Wisconsin, down by Verona, and they traded work for access with landowners. And this program that I started, Sharing the Land, is completely inspired by that. I ripped Leopold off completely for this program. And so we shot a couple of videos with Savage. One is about Leopold and the Riley Game Cooperative. There's another about our farm, and we are in production of the third one, which will be about sharing a general overview of sharing the land.
Okay. So that's and then do you do that kind of regularly, or just when a topic comes up you want to talk about? Or
you know, it's funny that you ask that, because it's like I forget all the things we have going on, and because it's, you know, stuff keeps popping up. We shot some videos last year that'll be coming out later this summer with Meat Eater. Okay. And my friend Mark Kenyon, who's their whitetail bow hunting guy, and we did a hunt with him on our farm, and it's real interesting. Speaking of bobcats, we speculate that one of the deer that he shot was eaten by a bobcat, just by the way it was eaten. And then he also arrowed a really nice buck that ended up falling in a creek and dying. And we had brought a dog out from a local guy and brought a dog out to find it. So it was really, that was pretty interesting. That's the kind of stuff I've got things like that going on all the time. I'm about to host some youth hunters. And then we have a couple of different events going on during the turkey season. And there'll be some more filming there. And I kind of forget about how much that kind of stuff I have going on.
Something all the time.
Yeah.
Dave Barron is here. Dave, welcome to the program. You wanted to be the anchor man here. It sounds today.
And I'm not sure why, listening to all these guys.
We have some important meetings coming up, though. They're important to encourage people to go
right.
to.
Right. We've got the Conservation Congress meeting, as John alluded to. It's very important that people show up, for the simple reason is this is where they get to put their input. We hear that, it really doesn't matter. Well, it does. We take this stuff back and it gets voted on at the convention. Then it goes to the National Resource Board. We were talking this morning, something we started, the replacement tag. Come on, guys, bail me out on this one. if you shoot a positive CWD positive deer, you were getting a buck tag. Now it's going to be an either or tag, and that's
for shooting a doe.
Yeah.
I hate to correct Dave. I live to correct Dave, actually.
Yeah, you do. But that was something that originally started at our CDAC meetings.
Okay.
And, you know, it ended up going all the way through, and it's been passed. What else have we put forward that?
That's the most recent one. We have at the meeting, you have an opportunity to introduce what are called citizen resolutions. Anybody can come to the meeting, although the process has changed a little bit now. They have somebody that will help you write the resolution, and it has to be submitted a little before the meeting. But it used to be when Doug submitted the one we're talking about a few years ago, he just wrote a resolution, brought it up. If it passes in the county that it was introduced in, then it goes through a whole process where all the counties get the weigh in on it, and eventually it becomes a DNR question. And if it passes muster there, then it can actually become a law or a hunting regulation or a hunting rule. A few years ago, Doug introduced the fact, came out of our CDAC, a deer advisory council, that we would, if you have a doe tested, part of our thing amongst the group here is that we wish everybody would test their deer for chronic wasting disease. If you test a doe and it turns out to be positive, you get a replacement tag that's either or, so you can shoot a buck or a doe on that. And that becomes law now, this upcoming deer season.
Yeah, it's a long process. We, and I appreciate you giving me credit for that, just because I was the guy who wrote it, but it really came out of our County Deer Advisory Council, and it's a really good group of people that we have. We have, I think, robust discussions about deer population, about our concerns about the deer, and what we can do about it, and we give the public an opportunity to have input with us, and we can pass that along as best we can. But one of our members came up with this idea of this replacement tank being either or. And so the point would be is that you would get more deer tested and you might be more apt to shoot a doe that, you know, is from a chronic wasting disease area. So we're really incentivizing rather than, you know, punishing or making people do things. Incentives seem to work better than making people do things. So this idea really came out of a good group discussion, and you know, here we are now this year. It's becoming a part of the regulations. I don't know that it's ever become law necessarily, but the regulations for the deer season.
Important to have that input. I think people feel that way, you know, and again, you're encouraging people. You just want people to get out in the woods. That's another way if they feel like they're heard, right?
You're right. And this is why I wanted to be anchor. You notice I brought something up and passed it off.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Just see how
the quarterback.
That was pretty good. I don't know. You have another question.
Public input, though, yeah. it's important when you see that.
It's very important. And with our two meetings coming up, you know, the Conservation Congress meeting first, you get to make inputs there, like John was saying. And then we've got the CDAC meeting coming up, and that's the Deer Advisory Council. There's 72, all counties have them. And we put forward what we would like to see, you know, like Doug wrote the, you know, for the tag. If people come in and they have a problem and they would like it, our council will look at it and we can pass it forward. And this is how the public can get involved with getting things done. You know, both meetings have their purposes. So if you don't attend, you have no reason to bitch about anything.
That's right. So the first one is April 8th. Do we mention when the second meeting was?
No, but it
29th.
Isn't it,
29th.
Isn't it April? Is it 8th?
April 29th. April 8th is the Conservation Congress meeting. And then April 29th, which is a Monday, is the CDAC meeting. And that CDAC meeting this year, we've been having them at the campus, of course, but we can't do that anymore. So it's in the basement conference room at the courthouse.
Okay.
It starts at 7.
Mark that on the calendar. If anybody is listening this morning and they have maybe a question of our panel, it's rare to have this many guys with all this expertise in one studio. So, but give us a call, 647-4155. We can submit a question to any of our gentlemen today, and we'll be back with more on The Morning Show after these words.
Marcus is a connoisseur of anything that's free, so he was happy to read the disclaimer on TurboTax Free Edition.
Roughly 37% of taxpayers qualify. Form 1040 and limited credits only. See how at TurboTax.com. That's me!
File your taxes 100% free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your max refund guaranteed. See if you qualify to file for free at TurboTax.com. See max refund guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Join us for the 2024 baseball team annual cookout at Jones Chevrolet on Wednesday, April 10th, running from 10:30 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Indulge in delicious hamburgers, brats, hot dogs, drinks, chips, and baked goods. Your support helps our local high school baseball team thrive. The team's annual cookout at Jones Chevrolet, Wednesday, April 10th from 10:30 until 1:30.
The home loan experts are at Community First Bank. Get great advice on how to improve your credit. Get pre-qualified so you know exactly what you can afford. And get match-to-money saving first-time homebuyer programs. Quit paying rent, become a homeowner, and save money? Now that's a win-win-win. Experience the difference at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com/homeloans. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Loan subject to credit approval. Restrictions may apply.
Walsh's Ace Hardware now is a full-service small engine shop. That's right. Now you can get all your small engines serviced at Walsh's Ace in Richland Center. Chainsaws, snowblowers, trimmers, garden tillers, lawnmowers, and tractors all serviced with two full-time technicians to give you prompt professional service. Walsh's also has new lawn and garden equipment along with snowblowers for sale. Pickup and delivery service available too. Call today to get your equipment tuned up at Walsh's Ace in Richland Center.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Welcome back to the morning show here today on WRCO Radio. We're talking about the Conservation Congress and the upcoming meetings, very important meetings in our area, the CDAC meeting later on this month of April as well. Some of our astute listeners submitting questions to the program here today. We'll direct this one to Doug Duran here to my right. To get more deer tested for CWD, why not bring back Earn a Buck for holiday season? Doug?
I think that's a great idea. And I think everybody in this room would agree to that. The problem is that Earn a Buck was outlawed by the legislature a few years ago. And if we had that option as a CDAC, we would certainly be doing it. But it would take a change in law for that to happen. And you can wonder why the legislators would be making deer policy versus using the experts, the biologists at the DNR to do it. But anyway, in their infinite wisdom, the legislature took that away. We would love to have Earn a Buck back. We'd like to be able to extend the gun season. We know that we manage deer with guns, not with bows and arrows. The bow hunters have their season, an extended gun season with being able to shoot bucks. Would certainly give us that opportunity.
What changes do you think could be made? Because we're always encouraging people to come back to the woods. And I think the numbers were a little better last fall for the season. But is there anything that comes to mind that might encourage more people to come out and hunt?
I think that all three of us would agree that the number one of the biggest reasons, I should say, that people aren't getting to the woods is access to private land is a problem. In our area, 95% of the hunting land is privately owned. And, folks buy land for hunting or they have a farm and they also hunt. More people getting on that land would be helpful. To that, I started a program a few years ago called Sharing the Land. And in that, people who make a contribution to the conservation of our property, or like in the case of Brock, who's actually my first Sharing the Land cooperator, who's still around, he was volunteering for the Conservation Congress. And I had a chat with him a couple of years in a row, and then he told me he lost his turkey hunting place. And I was like, why don't you come and hunt in my place? And so he did. And so that's the kind of thing, right? It's age-old system. It's a bartering system. But I would really encourage landowners to allow more access to their properties.
Do you have a waiting list for your sharing the land program?
I have a waiting list of about 100 people for my property, but we have four other properties in the state, and we actually have properties in eight different states, about 30 different properties, but we have across the country over 1,200 access seekers also. But if you can go on sharingtheland.com and kind of see what the system is, and if you're a landowner in southwest Wisconsin and you're willing to let folks hunt on your property, or access your property in seasons that you're not using. And mine's a great example. We don't use all the turkey seasons, so I allow access on those other times. But also, guys like Brock and Dave even, have come out and helped out with projects on the farm. And doing that, in return for that, I grant them access. So I think that's, you know, it's when I was a kid or when we were all kids, that was how it happened. You helped your neighbor out with something, and the hunting season came around, you had the opportunity. So that's all we're doing with sharing the land. We formalized that process.
It helps to know them a little better, to know who's on there. And
well, that's exactly
the character.
You develop cooperation, you develop a relationship with the landowner, you develop a relationship with that land, and you know more about it as a result. And that is one of the number one things. I think Brock would go over to him, but I think that people who are interested in mentoring and taking other people out is the big thing. You know, a place to go and somebody to go with are two big obstacles in hunting.
Is that what you see, Brock?
Yeah, absolutely. It's anybody that comes through any of my classes, it's the place to go and somebody to go with. And that's why a lot of those classes I'm going to run and do run are just scouting days and how to find a place to go on public land on your own. You know, there is quite a bit of public land in other parts of the state, so that's why I do run those. We have good chunks here in the county. 5% of it is public, and what's there is good hunting land. But there's some barriers for people that are trying to get into it, and they're barriers for a reason because they're kind of hard to break down sometimes. But just takes a little bit of kindness usually to help people get out into hunting and find a new passion that they'll probably carry with them the rest of their life.
With your job, do you just cover the southwestern Wisconsin area, or where do you go?
No, I cover the entire state, obviously, okay. Since I live here, kind of the home range. But I do kind of get out Sandhill Wildlife Area, I'm going to be getting up to Meade up north, Kettle Moraine over towards Milwaukee, Mississippi Valley Conservancy I'm working with some private landowners there. So getting all over.
Ah, wow.
Yep.
And every place has their own maybe highlight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you get up to Sandhill, you're getting into the sand barrens and stuff like that up in the central part of the state. Get over to Kettle Moraine. There's a lot of swampiness down there. It's definitely more flat over by Milwaukee. Then obviously in our home here in Richland County, it's very hilly and got all the driftless hills and everything like that. So definitely different ecosystems throughout the state. And so that's a kind of a perk of the job too. It's fun teaching all the different areas, not just Richland Center area.
Always good to get back home, I bet.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to come home.
Sure. Is there going to be a Brock Rosencrantz cookbook somewhere along the line?
You thought about that? I think that might be 20, 30 years down the line. But, Sloppy Joe's, I can only make so many ways.
Using venison, though.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
What measures are being taken to protect endangered species and promote conservation in Wisconsin? Anybody?
Yeah, every year there are some questions that come before the Congress and are voted on at the meetings that have to do with conservation. There's some on, I read through them last night, there's some on PFAS, which are a chemical that lasts mm-hmm. forever. There's always some about protecting bluebirds. There's one on the questionnaire this year. There's a number of different questions that are not just hunting and fishing and trapping, but there are a number of questions that are about the natural resources, water resources, air, all kinds of them.
You know, and I've lived around here basically all my life, but I've seen more eagles in the last couple of years than I have my whole life. Yes. Do you notice those in Cazenovia area there?
Yeah, I live right on the lake in Cazenovia, and it's a regular occurrence to see them. The bald eagle is a great example of a restored species as a result of being on the endangered species list and the change in outlawing of using DDT, which was a part of the problem with they'd ingest it and it was a problem with their eggs. So that's one. I'm sure people are aware of the issues that we have in the state with the wolf up north, the gray wolf up north, and there's a lot of discussion about that. And, you know, they're still on the endangered species list, and it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. Why? Because they've truly reestablished themselves in the northern part of the state. I don't pretend to be a wolf researcher or anything like that, but and I think wolves are cool, and I want to see them on the landscape, but like other natural resources, I think they need to be managed.
Let's get back to Dave, too. We wanted to talk a little bit about the dumpsters and the kiosks. I know when you were here last November, we talked about that, but how did it go for last year's season?
They went very well, actually. Let's see. We've got five dumpsters in Richland County. And we've replaced everyone at least twice. Right, Doug?
I'm just giving you enough rope to hang yourself.
Okay, good job. We replaced them twice. Most of the dumpsters have kiosks next to them, which the kiosks are there to put your deer head in there and get it tested for CWD. And we're going to talk about my pet peeve.
What's that?
Which is people do not get their deer tested. The kiosk is 10 yards away from the dumpster. They'll take the whole skeleton head and everything and dump it in the dumpster, and then we don't get the results of our CWD problem. Some statistics I found out recently is, and these are approximate, the DNR hasn't put solid numbers out yet, but there's like 250,000 deer killed in the state of Wisconsin. Of those 250,000 deer, only 11,500 deer were tested. So how do we truly know if we're even getting ahead of controlling the CWD? And where it really is all the time. So that's my pet peeve. You know, the dumpster's there, the kiosk is there. Why don't you cut the head off and put it, fill out the paperwork, put it in a plastic bag? But a lot of people don't care. They'll just eat the deer anyway. Well, that's fine. But give us some true numbers on where we're at with the CWD problem.
Doug, I have to
say something.
Well, great job, Dave. We killed about 6,000 deer in the county last year, and that's pretty much what we kill every year, more or less 6,000 deer, and we got about 1,500 tested. So 25%, I went to Weston, so I'm having a little trouble with the percentages there, but I think that's 25%. And that's probably the highest in the state. Terms of the number, the percentage of deer killed that get tested, and we're doing it on a voluntary basis. And I think some of that is because you have us on, and we get to talk about this. And you know, the sad truth is that almost 30% of the deer in our county that get tested are testing positive. And as I think everybody in this room can tell you, we're seeing more sick and dying and dead deer. From the disease, we're really not getting a hold of it, control of it, because we have not been controlling population. Our population is about the same. There are areas where there is some crashing, some population issues happening, and that's problematic. So, you know, in our area, I think Dave's right. It's ridiculous that people don't get their deer tested if they're, but I understand it's everything's voluntary. So how do we incentivize them to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, one is through this, that if your deer is positive, it's a doe and it's positive, you'll get a buck tag and, or a either sex tag to replace it. And that's one of the incentives that's out there for people to, you know, to encourage more testing.
Were there some numbers last year from, you know, CWD and how that looked in the county, or as you mentioned, would they be skewed a little bit if they, you know, all the deer weren't tested?
Well, I would speculate that if all the deer that were killed in the county were tested, that we would have a higher percentage. Because, for instance, on our farm, where we killed 47 deer last year, we test every deer. And we kill, what I always tell folks when they hunt on our place is, kill the deer that's in front of you. We're trying to control population there. And so we've killed fawns, we've killed year-and-a-half-old does and bucks, and then adults. And The younger deer are less apt to, and does are less apt to be positive. 50% and more of the bucks that we kill are testing positive, whereas about 20% of the does and less than that in fawns. But if you're getting, so if you're getting all those deer tested, that's going to drop your number down. Yet 30%, 29.7% of the deer on my farm tested positive. So, and that's kind of the way it is countywide. So maybe we're a good, our little testing area and that many deer in our region up there around Cazenovia, maybe that's a good indicator of what the percentage is like across the, you know, the demographic and the two sexes.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, Dave, the people don't want to wait. Is that one of the reasons you see why they don't get them tested?
Well, actually, it's gotten much better.
Has it?
I think it was less than 2 weeks this year you got your results back. Talking about little hot spots over in Ithaca, that's where our property is. In the last 2 months, we've had five positive deer that have, we've found dead or had to be killed because they were sick. So, and unfortunately, that was within 200 yards of my house. So, I have a real hot spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know what to do about that. And you know, eliminate all the deer as possible. So,
I think it's important to note, since we're going down this route a little bit, that the only tool that we have for controlling disease is controlling population. It's a communicable disease, right? So if you have a lot of animals crowded in a particular area and one of them is sick, it's apt to be spread through the rest of that herd more quickly. So one of the, really the only tool that we have is to reduce population. And by reducing population, the idea is that prevalence, being the number of deer of a particular group that are positive, prevalence will go down because there isn't going to be as much interaction between the deer. And in some areas, that's been proven to be true. So it's the only tool we've got. There's no cure for this disease. So the only tool we have is reduce the herd.
We're looking at public input, and we have a couple more questions to get to our expert panel. We'll do that when the morning show continues here.
Pappas Trading Post and Arena is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission bow retailer. Pappas Trading Post offers you a team of experienced professionals ready to help you get the perfect new bow, crossbow, arrows, or accessories for this season. Pappas team can also tune up your current bow for peak performance when it matters most. And they have a 40-yard indoor range to sharpen your aim. Visit Pappas Trading Post, 2 miles west of Arena on the corner of Highway 14 and H.
Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday 9 to 5.
Walsh's Ace knows that window screens can get punctured or torn. Let Walsh's Ace repair your torn or punctured screen. The experts at Walsh's Ace have the know-how. Looking for paint? The Ace Paint Department at Walsh's Ace has state-of-the-art equipment that can color match anything you have to paint. You can count on Walsh's Ace for everything from screens to paint. That's Walsh's Ace Hardware in Richland Center.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Dunkin' Reward members can look forward to the fresh offers in the new year, including a $2 medium hot or iced coffee, limit one per member per day, triple points when boosted members place an order through the mobile app on Wednesdays, and 100 bonus points for all members who place an order through the mobile app on Mondays. Those who aren't Dunkin' Rewards members can sign up for free on the Dunkin' app or by visiting DunkinRewards.com. Get a free medium beverage with your first purchase, so quick sign up and start earning free Dunkin' today. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. How easily soil gets moved with a 1-Series tractor. Or how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator XUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat.
Visit Hillsboro Equipment in Hillsboro, Mauston Equipment in Mauston, or Slama's Lawn and Sport in Reedsburg today, or find us online at hillsboroequipment.com.
Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio as we wrap up our conversation with John Clare, Dave Barron, Brock Rosenkranz, and Doug Doran. And again, we have some input from our listeners today. A question about the DNR and why not informing of predators being released. Is that John?
The DNR doesn't release predators without telling people. You know, the wolves are the big issue here in Wisconsin. Those were not released. They found their way from Minnesota or Michigan. Nobody knows for sure. That's been a long time. I can remember going to environmental conferences and having the wolf expert talk about that, and that was, holy cow, 30 years ago at least. The bobcats haven't been released. Coyotes haven't been released. They found their way here.
And maybe, Doug, you can. Somebody had a question about shared property and using land that's not their own. And you mentioned leasing is a big thing now, too.
Well, right. There's a number of ways that people get access to land, right? You buy property, and which is happening more and more in Richland County, that people are buying, in all of southwest Wisconsin, they're buying land for recreation, hunting being one of the reasons. I mean, we all know folks that bought land specifically for that. So people who buy land for hunting and recreation are maybe a little less apt to just share it with anybody, right? But they'll usually share it with friends and family, which is sort of the age-old way of doing things. Farmers, I mean, at least when I was growing up, I didn't bow hunt because bow hunting's for people who don't have enough to do. And I work that in wherever I can. And there wasn't an opportunity when I was. I mean, we just didn't have time for that when I was a kid. So we gun hunted, right? But we would help. You know, we had friends and neighbors that we would help with different work, and then we all hunted together. Those days are kind of gone. You know, deer drives and all that have sort of faded away. But so leasing has become a thing where I know. Well, heck, I'm one of them. I actually lease my place because I don't bow hunt. I lease to some bow hunters. And then after that, when those guys are gone, then it's friends and family, and then my sharing the land cooperators as well who deer hunt it. And that's why that's how we're able to kill 47 deer in a deer season on 600 acres. So that's, you know, that's another way of doing it. That idea that there's this bartering system, that there's this, you know, sort of this community and cooperation. Unfortunately, I think that's what's happened in hunting in the last, no, I don't know, we could speculate how long, 25 or 30 years, is that it's become a little, especially deer hunting, it's become a little more selfish, and I'm guilty of that too, rather than it being sort of something that we do as a community and cooperate while we're doing it.
Important meeting coming up. Dave?
Yeah, I just want to bring up a point, what Doug was talking about. He said he has 600 acres. They killed 47 deer this year. Doug does that every year. Kills that many deer.
I don't kill any of them.
No.
I killed one deer last year. I think you killed two or three, didn't you?
Well, no. And my point is that your number every year on your property, you kill somewhere between 40 and 50 deer. Is that correct?
Sure.
So these people that keep trying to hoard their deer, oh, I'm only going to shoot one so I get more deer on my property, is a wrong thought.
Yeah.
That causes more of the problem with CWD and stuff because you're getting the herd bigger. Where what you do on your property is you take out the same amount every year, and your herd doesn't go down as much.
Well, it doesn't. And we certainly up there in the northeast part of the county, well, this entire county, 85% of our county is deer habitat. So we're going to have a lot of deer. And I did say that Dave shot a couple last year, and Dave has hunted with us for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now. And part of the reason I invited him to come and be a part of our group was... I am not. This is, I was going to say something highly complimentary about you, and now instead I'm thinking, well, maybe I should take a shot at you.
Waiting for the punchline.
Yeah. Dave has volunteered, as has John, and as has Brock, has volunteered for these committees. They've spent their time and energy putting into conservation. It's easy for me to look at that and go, there's a guy that I want to have come and hunt on my property. I wish he could shoot a little better than he does.
I knew it was coming.
There it comes. Yeah.
But that's a part of it, right? People are putting in. Let's give them that opportunity.
Yeah. Brock, how can people get a hold of you if you're interested in the youth hunt and things like that? What's the best way to contact you?
People can contact me. My email is brock@deerassociation.com. That's brock@deerassociation.com. Or my phone number is 608-475-0751. Some of our stuff is full right now, but if you're interested in anything, definitely contact me, or you can go to the Go Wild website and go to the student education part, and you kind of got to search. But that's where you sign up for everything, or just go on the DNR website and look up the events page, and everything is posted right there, what's going to be coming up. So if there's anything that anybody's interested, there's foraging days, you know, everything, stuff like that. So.
Sounds like you'll never work a day in your life. You're doing what you love.
Then, no, right? Yeah, I definitely love it.
John, if anybody is, I mean, we've kind of maybe getting some ideas out there. You want people to bring those to the meeting on Monday night.
Yep. Bring any ideas you have for any rule changes on Monday night, and make your opinions known.
We haven't talked much about on the water, but fishing things.
Well, there's a lot of fishing questions this time around, yep, too, and a lot of other natural resources other than hunting and trapping.
Indeed. So.